Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network and the ministry of A New Beginning, Ambassador for Christ. Your host this evening, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Now, apparently this evening, I'm going to have a co-host and just give her an opportunity because she's encouraged that she gets a platform to speak about the goodness of God, what he's done for her, and how he is working in her life in this particular situation in the circumstances that she is going through right now. Okay, she is a faithful listener from week to week. Told me to let her have space to speak. So tonight, I've given her space, praise God, and I will do a little introduction, and then she'll be on. And after she speaks, we'll have a general little conversation, general conversation, scriptures, what it means to live for Christ, live holy, separate from the world. And it is, as I said, general conversation, okay? Now, first of all, let me read this disclaimer for the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network. The views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the host, guests, and caller. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, or of a host or advertisers. Now we'll have a prayer. If you have a prayer request, call it out before God, and we'll pray for the sick and afflicted. We'll pray for ourselves. We'll pray for our neighbors on either side. We'll pray for family, loved ones. We'll pray for those that are homeless, those that have been put out of their homes because of the prices of rent and mortgages, because of catastrophes, fires and floods. The people that are caught up around the world in these different and particular wars that are going on, the Ukraine, the Middle East, there are wars everywhere going on. There are wars going on in this country right here, you know. But people don't see them as wars, but there are wars, actual wars happening, okay? And we need to ask God to help us deal accordingly, to help us go through any health issues we have and that we're dealing with, family members that we care for, that we like for them to change their life, you know, stop doing what they're doing, and try to see the light as we did. You know, we weren't born perfect, you know, and I wasn't born in the church. I wasn't born a good guy. You know, hey, I did my thing, but I realized that God was the answer to my life, my lifestyle. I had to stop doing what I was doing, do something new. Now, I couldn't stop doing what I was doing in the world and do something new and keep on doing the same thing. Now, that's what they call insanity. That's insanity, you know. But the world's in such a chaotic position right now, and people, they don't have any respect, no love for themselves or each other. And, you know, we need to choose where we want to be at, you know, a safe place or a hostile environment, you know. But I see for myself and other people, you know, we don't necessarily agree specifically on certain issues in our lives, but we agree specifically on who to turn to help us out. You know, with my drug issue, I turned to God because man couldn't help me, and God helped me, you know, and I keep believing and trusting in him to help me through life as I go through these health issues. But everyone has their circumstances, you know, and it's up to them to believe and trust in whatever. You know, of course, the doctors, they're there for a reason, but, you know, the doctors wouldn't be able to do what they're doing unless they had someone over them believing God then. God is all knowledge. He's ever present, and he's all powerful. Okay? All right. Let's have prayer. Most High God in heaven and earth, underneath the earth, and we give you the praise this day. We honor you, Father God, for bringing us into another day, a brand new day, a day we've never seen before, a day that we had never acted upon anything in. It was fresh, given to us. It was a blessing. We didn't do anything to earn it. It was given to us because of the love that God has for mankind. And his grace and mercy is never ending. It's everlasting. And it's offered to us each and every day that we are blessed to rise up, open our eyes. Some people, they may have opened their eyes, but they weren't able to rise up. Some people didn't open their eyes. Some people opened their eyes for a short period of time, and boom, they were gone. You know, but we thank God. We thank God for life, health, and strength as we believe that he is our creator, redeemer, sustainer, and judge. And his son, he sent his son into the world that we wouldn't have to die in our sins. Christ died for us, and for us to be reconciled back to God. There was no one that can do it, no one that was perfect enough that could do it. So God sent his only begotten son into the world while we were yet in our sins. Christ died for us. You know, but they say 2,000 years ago, in God's terms, that is, praise God, in God's terms, that is, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So we're in the second day, and we truly thank God for giving us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to live and to work for the kingdom and do what we need to do in life and not what we feel we have to do. Or my purpose is to be here to be a millionaire or have a big house on the hill. But God, we look to you to supply us with our every need. Then you take it away. You heal. And sometimes you don't heal, Father God. But we're asking you. We're asking you, Father God. We're your people. We're asking you to heal, Father God, to touch, to speak the word, Father God. Send someone, Father God, in your name to do what you would have us to become a part of. Your kingdom, Father God, we truly thank you for your spirit that helps to keep us in the way. We thank you for your word that helps to keep us in the way. Thank you for forgiving us our sin, Lord God. We thank you for protecting our hearts, Father God, our souls, our inner being. We thank you, Lord God, that we are able to accept Christ within us, Father God. That we don't have to live that same life we used to live, Lord God. No matter if it's what's going on in the world, we can live peaceably with all men if we so desire. And not to want to hurt the next man or to take from what the next man has. But thank you for blessing us with what we do have, Father God. And for you to wait to make it last, Father God. And we give you the praise. We honor you because we know that these things, you can do these things. We know of you. We heard of you, Father God. We have seen your works. And we thank you, giving you the praise this day. Thank you for the time you've given us in this ministry, Father God, to speak those things as though they are. Because we believe, even without seeing you or your son, Jesus Christ, we believe, Father God, we believe in you. We believe in what you have for us in the spiritual realm. Giving you the praise. Once again, honor you with the highest praise, which is hallelujah. We thank you, God. We thank you for this time. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Okay. Real quickly, what we got here? Okay, real quickly. We're going to do a quick intro, and then we're going to let Miss Margaret do what she does. And after she's finished, we can have a generalized conversation on scripture, the life of a child of God, a saint. I don't like using the word Christian because that was a label that was put on men by men. And so, you know, I don't down people or doubt people for, you know, being Christ-like, but I just don't like using that word because God did not call us Christians. It's in the scripture. Men started that. For us to separate ourselves from the world and be true on all sides, you know? Okay? All right. Real quickly. Oh, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing well, doing well. Glad to have you. Glad to have you.
Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And as I mentioned, as we spoke earlier, the more or less the second part of the program here, you know, we can put out something to talk about. You have a topic, you have something on your mind, something you want to ask, or something you just want to pass along to us, encourage us or whatever. You know, the mics will be open at that time. But as I said, Miss Margaret, she wants to do her thing first with scriptures and things that will happen in her life. Okay? All right. And we'll go from there.
Excited to listen.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Good evening. Praise the Lord. Is this family? 910? 910. Good evening. Yeah, I truly believe that's family. Okay. All right. Okay. Good evening, sis. How are you?
Good evening.
Welcome. Welcome. Glad to have you. Okay. And we have, okay. We have more family. Good evening. 745, good evening to you. Good evening, 745. I'm thinking your family of Margaret, be blessed. We just hope you enjoy the program, okay? All right. All righty. Okay, now here we go. Good evening, Miss Margaret. Praise God.
Good afternoon.
Glad to have you once again.
Honey, I'm so happy, I'm so blessed. I cannot contain my joy in it.
I know you can't. I can tell by all those texts in the email. But praise God. We thank him for the opportunity for you, you know, in your circumstances to be able to reach out to others, be able to receive something from others to encourage you and encourage the next person in line, okay? And
yeah.
To be blessed.
Yes.
We both are in the body of unity. You connected through Mount Nebo, and we connected through Unity New Zion. But God gets the glory.
Amen.
Out of
this.
Praise
Amen.
God. Okay. Whenever you like to start, that I don't know if you had a topic or does this relate to you, your circumstances, or is just something that God gave to you to pass along to the next person in line?
It's what God has given me. The topic
okay.
is be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen. Amen. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Okay?
Amen.
Whenever you're ready, you can get started. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Tonight I will be speaking from a writing that I have done. I was led by the Lord to start these writings, and I've read a whole lot. And tonight I want to share with you, be holy, for I am holy. We will be coming from First Peter 1, First Peter chapter 1, verse 16. We'll be covered for 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. We'll be covered for Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, from Psalms 96 and 9, and from 1 Peter 2 and 9.
Okay. Now, you will repeat those scriptures again right before you read them, right?
I sure will.
Okay. Let everyone know what version of the Bible you're reading out of.
I'm coming from the King James.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's the only thing that I read is the King James.
Okay. Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. From the past to the present and from here to the future, there has been and there will be and there has been and there will be and there are so many churches that are doing all kinds of stuff to member to get members and to get their money into their churches.
Yeah.
And they are not coming, they're not caring about the welfare of people. They just care about their money. They don't care about their souls. They just care about the money and the body count. The Holy Bible clearly says there has to be a difference. And this difference is between being holy and unholy, being clean and unclean, being just and unjust, and being righteous and unrighteous.
Amen.
As we search the Bible, we find in 1 Peter 1 and 16, and it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So let's break down the meaning of the word holy. The word holy comes from the word whole, and whole means being complete.
Yes.
When we are complete, we have no T's and no I's. We have no T's to cross and no I's to dot. We have all things in order and in line. And saying that, let's look back and let's look at the Lord. For the Lord is holy. He is righteous. He is clean. He is just. He is everything.
Yes.
In saying that, we acknowledge that he is full and complete, meaning he has no unfinished parts.
Right.
He wants us to be like him. He wants us to be complete, and that completeness is in him. This being said, no one should be participating or practicing in worldly deeds or worldly stuff, but to be honest and true to the Lord. However, not to leave out that there will be trials. There will be situations, but it's how we handle them is the key to our salvation.
Amen.
We must seek and we must trust the Lord above all things and seek out his plans for us, not relying on others, but wholly depending on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, it states in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In
so
this
true.
Passage, it confirms us in the Lord. If we lean on the Lord, lean and trust in the Lord. The Lord will direct our path, this means our life's journey.
Mm-hmm.
He will be there with us no matter what, always.
Mm-hmm.
We also see in Psalms 96:9, it states, all worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. And in this scripture, he said all the earth. He don't mean one or two people. He means the whole world. He wants everybody to acknowledge him. He has given each of us so much And the one small thing that he would want from us is a true worship.
Yes. Yes.
We also find in 1 Peter 2 and 9, and it states that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you shall show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
When he comes into our lives, well, let me change that. When we let him into our lives, he will take away all the dark spots and all the dark ways. He will shed his wonderful light into our hearts that will complete us in his holy word. We must obey and govern ourselves accordingly, which is not hard, at least not to me. We must seek the Lord with our whole heart, not leaving any stone unturned, not leaving any space alone, but taking our complete hearts to him, being honest and true, and he will redeem us and help us through anything, like he's
That's
doing
right.
for me right now.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
For my example, he has covered me the last 53 years and 5 months. He has been there every step of the way in my life's journey. When I was born, the doctors gave me up and told my parents I would not live. Well, look at 53 years later, I'm still here. Praise to the one that has protected me and covered me under the blood. I honor and worship him, for he has been so good to me.
Praise
As
God.
We continue to search the Bible, we find that in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, and it says, But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yes.
Peter was being very direct in his teaching. He told them the real word that we must be holy, meaning we must be whole and complete without any blemishes or spots that we will try to that we may try to cover up. When we are whole in the Lord, we will wash until all areas are completely clean, not leaving one part, not enough space, not touched. We will clean ourselves from the inside out.
Yes.
In that state, there won't be any forgetting or any spots, but knowing that the enemy will set traps to find us, but we must earnestly seek the Lord and keep our lives holy, so we won't fall. However, sometimes things happen that we don't see coming, but we must put on the whole armor of God. We must suit up completely in making sure that our feet is tight and we are ready for battle. Be you also ready. In some churches today, they will not teach the true aspect of being holy, because it will interfere with their numbers and their money. Let's look at the churches of today. They would rather see a large group of people not living right and do whatever they want to do. But instead of seeing a small group of people that actually are wanting to live right and wanting to do what the Father wants them to do, so in the teaching, they falter because they don't do the whole truth about his word.
Yes.
And it is praying time, because in essence, if you go to a church that is always talking about be you prosperous and health all the time, and not talk about sins, or not talk about governing ourselves the way that you think you want to be governed, but the way you should be governed. You need to find another church. It is so much praying time. And I would like to end with this prayer. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to you tonight asking you to show each of us the way. Lord, we ask that you fill our hearts with your word, that we may hear you and understand our faults, and that we will get right with you. Lord, I ask that you reach down and touch each and every person on this line. And if they have a special request, Lord, I want you to do that for them. Come here. Lord, I want you to come here and fix it for them. Lord, I honor you, and I thank you for the privilege of having to speak tonight on your behalf, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, I honor you, and I praise your holy righteous name. This I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen, amen, amen.
Well, praise God. Thank you so much, Margaret. I truly believe that God has allowed you to join us in this ministry every Thursday night, and giving you an opportunity to speak what you feel and to pass along to the next person in life what they must do if they want to live and not suffer. Because after this life, there is another life. And,
yes,
you know, not to say that we got it going on and nobody else, you know, but we believe in the Word of God, which is in the Scriptures, and we know that he brought us out of the life we used to live in certain ways. Brought me out of drug addiction.
Amen.
He brought the next one out of prostitution. He brought the next one out of homosexuality. See, we know these things, but people that see us and they hear about our testimony, it's hard for them to believe because they're not at that point to actually believe in something they don't see. You know, most of the world is trusting themselves. But we know that God is able to bring anybody out and to put them on the right path. All through Scriptures, it lets us know that the world is headed for destruction. You know, there is an ending to life. And it's going to be either door number one or door number two. You know, we have.
But you're not going to need both doors.
That's right. That's right. And it's best that we do what we need to do right now and not wait until the last minute to where God's grace might be gone. God may take his grace is free for everybody right now. All a person has to do is ask the Lord to save them, which means we're in a world of sin, chaos, and this and that and whatever else. And if we ask him to save us, it's just like a person drowning in the sea, on the pool. Save me. You know, we're not going to run back out there and be drowned all over again. You know, we're going to continue on this new way and try not to do those things that had us drowning and asking for some help all 24/7. But it's not going to be, it's not going to be free and easy. The Word tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. So the only thing that separates us from the world is the way we live, our life, lifestyle. You know,
I'll call you back.
Okay, huh? You want me to put you on a call? No, it's okay. I understand.
No, hi. He's going out.
Okay, okay. I understand. The rest of the listeners, I haven't spoken on your circumstances or your situation. They might know what's going on, but see, that's up to you to speak on that if you care to in time. And people, you know, people, they're going to want to know some details. But it's not their business to know details. If anything, just to pray for you. you know, and hope for the best, okay? All right?
Okay, just to give a background on my life, I had a stroke in 2017. I was walking until March of 2018. Then I got real sick and I lost a whole lot more weight. So they put me in a hospital and never helped me to get up and helped me to walk. So right now I'm down to the nursing home where I am right now. And the Lord has been dealing with me in so many tremendous ways. I cannot escalate that many ways that he has done for me.
Yes.
And I tell you, he's been so phenomenal.
Yes, yes. And see, this was for people that didn't know about your situation or who you were, you know, but as I keep saying, it's a blessing for you to be able to speak on what's going on in your life and how God is working with you and dealing with you. And you being, you know, in that particular living space and that your body and your health is in that type of condition, you know. But it's good. It's good for you to have a platform to reach out. You know?
It is. And I tell you, the Lord has done so much for me. People around here, they be like, "How you doing?" I'd be like, "I'm fabulous." They'd be like, "You're fabulous?" I said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Lord, keep me present. I am fabulous."
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we thank God for you. And truly, once again, to God be the glory. And you just keep hanging on and holding on and being encouraged, okay? All right?
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to put you on mute so you can listen to the rest of the program, okay? And I don't know if they will or not, but if anyone has a question they want to direct to you about what you spoke on or a generalized question about God in your life or God in your situation, would it be okay to?
Be perfect.
Okay, no problem. Okay, you just hold on there. And thank you. Okay? All right. Okay.
I thank God for the boldness that he gave Sister Margaret, because that was some boldness, and it was true, because a lot of people do want a crowd, and because the money's coming in, but they need to preach on sin. You need to call sin what it is, and sin is sin, and that's what you preach about, sin, and tell people that they have to come out of sin and leave it alone. Call sin what sin is, because no sin's going into heaven. And she talked about God said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." And we have to be holy. It don't matter what church you're in, you're going to have to be holy. And gave her that bonus to tell the people what the Word of God says. And I'm so thankful for Sister Margaret for being bold enough to speak the word that she spoke.
Yeah.
And I applaud her for that, because it was wonderful.
Yes. I feel, real quick, I feel it's very important that she was able to speak on her situation. You know, most people, after all this, 6 years, they'd be about ready to give up or wouldn't want to be bothered or didn't want to talk about their situation. But she is willing to talk about her situation and how is in her and encouraging her, you know, she gives a praise report. Every now and then she can stand up for 5 minutes or, you know, she can stand up for 15 minutes a day or something.
Yeah.
And it's good to hear that. Not necessarily
giving her the courage. Listen, every Thursday night she's on the line. And that is such a blessing. That's encouraging, too.
Yes, yes. And it's not that anybody's looking for a pat on the back. It's just God blessing, because we don't know what the situation is in a nursing home, paralyzed. I can't see myself that way. I wouldn't want to be there, but, you know, we see her in that situation. and it's like, well, my God, I feel real sorry for her. But God, he allows things to happen in people's lives. And this right here, this ministry, this one time to where I'll give her the mic whenever she wants to have an outlet because it helps her because she can get to church and this and that and whatever, and she's stuck in the room, you know.
And he's using her in that situation that she's in. He's using her.
Yeah.
See?
Mm-hmm,
and she's allowed him to use her. And that's a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it lets people know that you don't have to be you don't have to be ambulatory and, you know, in your right mind to serve God. You know? You don't have to be put in a position to where I don't know what I'm going to do now. You know, I'm paralyzed. I can't walk. I can't do what I used to do. I might as well serve God. No. He had committed before her health went down as it did, you know. And not to take anything away from her, my situation, lived in New Jersey, in New York, drug addict for 20-plus years. Stole and did this and did that. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, save my soul in New York City. And he did. He did. And I thought to move out of this country to South America. That wasn't happening because it wasn't part of God's plan. My youngest son called me, and I happened to be at my mother's house that day, sitting by the phone. And, of course, my mom, she had the same phone number for the longest. And I answered the phone, and there's my youngest son calling. And he gave me his mother's phone number. And as I was coming up out of drug addiction, God had my ex-wife coming up out of a situation that she was in. He was cleaning us up for later on down. And after 32 or 37 years, he put us back together. 16 years. And you know, we can't see these things coming down the pipe. It's a part of God's plan, you know. And it's not that I'm patting myself on the back because I'm back with my ex-wife.
Nobody but God.
And I'm back with my children. But it's just to show people that you can have plans to do this over there and to do that over there. Well, I got all this planned out. Boom. Something jump off. Where you at? You're stuck, you know. And it's not that you have to turn to God, but God, he lets things happen to get all of our attention. You know, like I said, in New York, I was healthy, doing drugs. I come down here, the first year I had thyroid issues. I got over them. A couple of years later, I started having lung collapses, 5 lung collapses. Now, prostate cancer. But I'm not down and out because I'm back down here. You know, with my first wife. No, it's the situation that God put me in, and I appreciate it, and I'm so grateful because I don't have that chaos to deal with in my life. You know, he can take my life anytime. Hey, I'm trying to live the life so that if he does take my life, I'm ready to go. I'm not scared to leave this life here on earth because I know I'm not going to live forever. And I either live with him in this life, in the world, or when I pass, when that time comes, I'm ready to go. I live for him in the kingdom because my life is geared to do that no matter what happens. You know, and it's an example for people to just see and look. So, oh, man, I remember him. He used to be running after some women over there all the time. You know, don't do that no more. Life has changed. Oh, praise God. Any comments or does anyone have something they wanted to speak on themselves? Not to take away anything you guys may have had on your mind from the beginning, but this is a free platform. We just try to keep it spiritual. And, you know, we just want people to know that there are two ways to go. There are two ways to go. You can live holy.
Heaven.
You live in the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll comment. I think what she said initially about churches trying to think about the seats, the people in the seats and the office and whatnot, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I've been to churches. You don't hear many churches, you know, talking about, you know, get saved to go to hell or having a sermon and on revelations and lake of fire. I mean, there's a lot of churches don't have those sermons anymore. I'm not sure what your church is doing. If you got folks have those topics anymore, but a lot of people are shying away from that because even Christians, and you're right, Jesus didn't use it for, but even people of God, you know, depending on where they are in their walk, don't necessarily want to be called out like because they're conflicted and they're convicted. So to keep them being convicted, you go somewhere where you're not put to the test and you're not convicted. You're not called to the carpet with sermons, the sermon about, you know, fire and brimstone, and you go in hell. So churches don't concentrate on those types of sermons, because if they do concentrate on those types of sermons, fearful that their attendance will go down, their offerings will go down, and then thus their church. I totally agree with what she was talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Couldn't be a bad thing. It should be a B.
As you can see, churches are emptying out, and I believe these are ones that's really speaking the truth about being saved. You can lose your soul and this and that. And the churches that are filling up, they're preaching prosperity. Throw $1,000 seed this week, and you know, 6 months from now, you're going to get $10,000. It's following the crowd. Whatever the crowd's doing, that's popular, so I'm going to do the popular thing, you know.
And that you're right. That is becoming popular, those prosperity teachings. And that just shows you where people who are in the church, where they are with regards to where they believe. They see this important because they're looking at what God can give them instead of what I can do and what they can do for their fellow man. If God can give them the house, give them the car, and give them the savings and the money, show people their wealth. You know how people on social media these days, just so everybody can see them. I think people are concerned with these days how their appearance is to everybody else. So that goes along to that prosperity doctrine. And you're right, those mega churches are out there for a reason. A lot of them are teaching that, and people are falling right in line, having no problem seeing the preacher making all with a big mansion and drive these cars, because they feel, you know what, he must be doing the right thing, teaching his prosperity. If I do that, I will do the same thing. And I'm sorry, he might be quoting some scriptures out of context, because there might be some that talk and interpret that way. But I don't think that's what the intent was. Interpretation should be necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. See, people. You know, it's my thought. People have gotten it twisted. There's so much freedom in the world. And once upon a time in history, there was freedom in the world, and man's mind was sin constantly. And see, this was not what God created man for. God created man out of love, for love, to love him and love our neighbor as ourselves. But now you find people, they can't live next to each other because what did he want? Why, you know, I'm going to put me a fence up so he can't look over here, you know, stuff like that. And it drives people to the point to where they get upset, they get angry, they become aggressive, and they have no love, and they don't even love themselves because they commit these killings. Yeah, and our young men... Their lives just start now, you know, and they commit these killings, and they're in prison for the rest of their life. They have no idea what life is about, no idea whatsoever, you know.
Yeah.
And I believe we have a great-grandson. I believe he's 18. I believe he got locked up this past week. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know, you know, he's just lost. The prison setting, pretty sure it's going to sway him to live that life, and he's going become a part of it, and we won't be able to feed anything into it, whereas we tried to in the past, and we got the positive reactions. Oh yeah, I'm gonna get me a job, and you know, I'm gonna save my money. I'll get me a car, maybe get me a little partner. But wait, he's in jail. Can't get that stuff in jail. You know, it's very sad.
But the time that we're living in now, the ministers that's really sent by God, they should be preaching the time that we're living in now, because we're living in a time now where man's doing any and everything. The world Bible's fulfilling within our eyes, and Jesus is coming back. They need to be preaching about sin and what about where you're going. You're gonna go to heaven. You're gonna go to paradise when you leave here. You're gonna go to hell. They need to be preaching about sin, what sin really is, and if you don't live holy, you're going to go to hell, or you're going to, when you die, you're going to go to paradise, or you're going to go to hell. They need to be preaching about that instead of prosperity, new homes, new cars, and all that stuff, because the Bible's fulfilling right before our eyes. Man is killing one another. All that's in the Bible. We're living in perilous times. That's what looks like they would be preaching about now, what's going on now in the world. Because people is dying, going to hell. They
let's look at this real quick.
We're just a breath away. We're just a breath away from where we're going.
Yeah. Let's look at this real quick. In the New Testament, Paul, he was sent by God to preach to the Gentiles. We supposedly are the Gentiles, those in the world that wasn't separated as Israelites. Paul told us, no, we need to start talking on reconciliation, the reconciliation. God sent his son that we don't have to die in our sin. All we have to do is say a few words, believe in our heart, and let people know that God loves us so much, no matter what we have done. No matter what we've done, he loves us, and we can just walk right on in instead of struggling and going through all these changes. We're living in a time of grace. We should not be speaking about condemnation, but reconciliation.
But
God sent
his
son into the world to die for us.
Yes,
Jesus came into the world to die for us.
You have to receive what he did, though. You have to receive what he did.
Understand, but I agree. The reconciliation versus condemnation, because you start talking about that Lincoln Fire stuff all the time. You're condemning a lot of people. And turning a lot of people.
What you have to do, you have to receive what he did on the cross. You have to receive that because our sins went into Jesus Christ. We have to believe that and repent and receive it. We have to receive it.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
You know. So, in Acts and Paul and James, none of them are talking condemnation. None of them talking lake of fire. None of them talking any of that stuff. They're talking about receiving Christ. Things he did, revelation do some more research, or they're talking about lake fire and going to hell. I don't think any of the books in the New Testament are talking about going to hell.
What you have to do when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins, the past, present, and the future, he hung on the cross, and all of our sins went into him on the cross. All we have to do is believe that our Savior forgave us of our sins. We have to believe what he did on the cross and receive it in our heart. That's what we have to do. We have to believe it and receive it and then walk in forgiveness.
Or
we have to walk in forgiveness.
Or
And that's what we have to do. Walk in forgiveness. Believe it. Walk in forgiveness. Because Ephesians, once you believe, the Holy, you sealed with the Spirit of God. But you walk
right.
in that forgiveness.
But
you're walking in that forgiveness, you don't keep sinning, right?
But you're saying that without condemnation, you're saying those things about walking and stuff. But you're not throwing the back end like you would have a lot of preachers do, or you're going to hell. Because I don't think that part necessarily needs to be in there, because a lot of people.
Now I understand. I'm going back to Ephesians. You have to once you believe that he, because see, Jesus, God became flesh. He became flesh through Jesus Christ, and he was reconciling us back to him through Jesus.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the word, reconciliation.
Now, once we believe that he was reconciling us back to himself on the cross, all of our sins went into him, to Jesus Christ. Once we believe that our sins went into him on the cross, we have to believe that, but we have to ask for forgiveness, and then we walk in forgiveness. We have to repent now. We have to repent, and then we walk in that forgiveness, not to sin no more.
Right, but we can't keep putting that on people. Oh, you need to stop doing that and come on, because if you don't, you're going to hell. That is not reconciliation. Telling people they're condemned, that is not reconciliation. God loves us so much.
We have to walk in that unforgiveness. And keep walking after Jesus Christ. Now, if we believe tonight that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and he took all our sins on him, on the cross. Now, we can't go tomorrow and say, well, I believe I'm saved tonight, but tomorrow I'm going to start dabbling in doing what I did before I believed. No. You have to keep walking after Jesus Christ. You can't start dabbling back in sin now, because we under grace, and it don't give us a ticket to sin. Okay,
we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Okay,
reconciliation.
We have been.
We keep walking after Christ.
The ministry of reconciliation does not fall back and telling anybody about their sins. God, He has grace for you to repent. Yeah, reconciliation.
So now you don't walk back and start drinking again. You don't start walking back and start drinking again. You free from that. Okay?
Okay, we got a couple of minutes. I want to put a scripture in there. I want to put a scripture in there real quick. Scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Okay? Now, of course, this starts before the 18th verse. But it says this. Now, this is the ESV version of the Bible. Okay? Mm-hmm. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what does reconciliation mean, though? What is reconciliation? Let's find out what reconciliation means. It's not to keep hounding somebody about their sin. No. The ministry of reconciliation
brings
to let people
back together who was once enemies, two people back together. Who was enemies? So we was enemies to Christ, but now we're not enemies.
We're friends again. Okay. Reconciliation.
Yes, brings us together.
Reconciliation
I don't keep throwing up in his face what he used to do.
Right. What's that definition? Okay. All right. Right here. Reconciliation. All right. Reconciliation is the end of the estrangement, which, in other words, the separation caused by the original sin, which was disobedience with Adam, between God and humanity. Okay? Mm-hmm. And God uses the power of Christ's redemption. Christ, his redemption work, Christ went to the cross and took all our sin, the sin of the mm-hmm. whole world. So anybody that did sin, was sinning, or will sin, all their sin are covered. All they have to do is come in, ask for forgiveness, believe mm-hmm. that God raised Christ from the dead,
mm-hmm.
and he rose from the dead, you know. And we have to walk, and his word, the scripture, is for us to live by each and every day. We can go mm-hmm. through old scripture, the Old Testament. We can go through the New Testament. There's something in there for all of us. The scripture is for the entire world. The old scripture, mainly for the Israelites, to bring the Gentiles to Christ. But since mm-hmm. they fell short, Paul came with this ministry of reconciliation. Okay? Reconciliation, that means we're friends with God again. All we have to do is forgive us for our sin.
Yeah.
Grace, yeah. Unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor. God has mm-hmm. grace. He put grace out there for everybody. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. So we shouldn't be talking about condemnation anymore. We need to be reconciliation. There is no, you know, we're back to God. We can get back to God, no problem. We were
yeah.
separated before because of sin. But Jesus,
yeah.
he took the sin of the world away. So God, he looks on us now, and we can go right to God.
Right.
We can go right to God. Yeah, we don't have to be out here preaching condemnation. Oh, boy, you know you need to stop that drinking. Or, girl, you know your dress is too short. No, we need to leave that alone and just move on and tell people God loves you. God
exactly.
created you for love through love.
Mm-hmm.
So all a person has to do is just come on back and say, Lord, forgive me, accept me, forgive me of my sin. And start living through Margaret
says,
be holy. For
I am holy. Walk according to the word. That's how you do.
Okay, we got 90 seconds.
What you
we have 90 made. Seconds. Is there another
read,
comment? We have 90 seconds.
Read Ephesians 1:13. Once you believe, then you filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. Once
the
you
day
believe.
Of
that's what it says.
Real quick, Elder, would you have a word? We have about 60 seconds. Elder?
Hello.
Yes, sir. We have about 45 seconds. Do we have a word?
The Bible says to me, Romans 8:1, says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that
no
in Christ Jesus that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? So
those that
do not believe on the Son of God, mm-hmm. the Bible said he's condemned already because he have not believed on the Son of God. There's reconciliation, and there is still condemnation to those that don't believe until they repent of their sin and believe in Christ Jesus and be born of the Spirit from above, get regenerated on the inside, changed all the way through. And that person is a new people. The cinnamon in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are. So we are new creatures in Christ. We don't live the same lifestyle. We don't want to live the same lifestyle. If we live in the same lifestyle, we never got it right with God.
We got it right with God.
All right, we're shutting down.
Amen.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
Thank you, sir. Washington State. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night, Miss Margaret.
Good night, sweetheart. Thank you.
You're welcome. Praise God. Thank you.